Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Kind of a weird, hazy day out there, but enjoy it. Brad Young, attorney at law and KMOX contributor, joins us now. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Where'd you go to vacation?
Went to Seattle, so I brought the cloudy weather back with me.
Yeah, well done. I don't mind it. Not too bad. What was the highlight of your trip?
The Museum of Pop Culture. Oh, my goodness. There's so much stuff in there, from guitars that were played by every rock artist you've ever heard of to the chair that Captain Kirk sat in on the Enterprise.
Very everything. Cool. I would dig that. That's pretty fun. You have three really good stories here. We may not get to all of them. Let's start with the big one to me, which is Donald Trump. And he's being sued by the state of California because they are saying that he doesn't have the power to bring in federal troops without getting the okay from the governor. Flesh it out for us.
Well, there's obviously with Trump, there's always a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of moving pieces. But under Title 10 of federal law, it allows the president to send in federal troops in certain situations, but almost always it's at the request of the governor of the state. And in fact, the last time was 1965 when a president sent in National Guard troops without gubernatorial approval. That was in the South when integration was going on and some of the southern states did not want immigration to occur. So President Truman sent in federal troops without the governor's approval. Mm-hmm. So that's the one issue here. The problem, like in so many situations, is that you have multiple laws that cover the situation, Dave. Mm-hmm. So you've got a situation where, like under the statute, it specifically allows the president to federalize troops, but only if there's been a rebellion or an insurrection. So you look at it on Saturday when the troops were federalized, there wasn't yet a rebellion or an insurrection. So I see that as a problem. However, Governor Newsom is taking the position that under this law, you cannot send in the troops unless the governor approves it. And that's also incorrect. It doesn't require the governor's approval. It just has to be funneled through the governor's office. So there's a lot here for the courts to unpack. The bottom line is, yesterday, a federal court was asked to put an injunction on these federal troops. And the federal court said, no, we're not going to do that because we don't think that Trump's going to lose this. And so a stay was not approved.
It really seems like the Supreme Court, I get salty at them. I get it. I understand the whole thing about they take what they want to take and they have good reasons for not taking any certain case. But just as an everyday guy, like, hey, a-holes, we have some things that we need to have answers to. For example, is what is going on with the border and with illegal immigration, is that an invasion? Is it an insurrection? Answer that right for us, and then we can answer a lot of these questions.
You're right. If they would, because that is the linchpin. If this is an insurrection or an invasion, then that triggers all kinds of other statutory and constitutional powers. So you're right. That would be handy. But the other thing that we're balancing all of this with in California, Dave, is what's called, and this is cool, this is the kind of thing you can bring up at a party. All right. It's called the Posse Comitatus Act. I mean, that just sounds cool, right? The Posse
yes.
Comitatus Act. So that's a law that dates back to the Civil War era that states that the president cannot use federal troops to arrest civilians in a police action. And that was designed to keep the states, or the president rather, from basically using federal troops to go in and arrest a bunch of southern states when they weren't abiding by federal law. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that. So there's all of these, you know, you could send in the troops, the president can do that, but they can only do this. They can only support or protect federal authorities. They can't arrest any protesters. They can't engage with the protesters. They can only respond. I mean, there's a lot of legal guardrails around this entire situation, which just really makes it rather a tripwire. You know, it's one of those situations where right now I think it's overall it's legal, but if one thing goes wrong, this could spiral into chaos very quickly.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to attorney Brad Young. So there's been a ruling of females in the NCAA. What is that all about?
Well, this was a big deal. We've been watching this. In fact, I think you and I have talked about this before. It's something called the House Settlement. It was an antitrust lawsuit against the NCAA that said you cannot, because the NCAA said we can't pay athletes, right? So this was a lawsuit to challenge that. It was settled for big money, billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And there's two parts to this, and then we'll break it down how it applies to women. There's two parts to the settlement. Part one is that currently, right now, immediately, universities can start to pay students for their image and likeness. It's called NIL rights. They can pay them up to $20 million total per university for the name, image, and likeness rights for athletes. And then the second part is a retroactive payment towards past athletes who missed out on NIL benefits. That's the part that's being challenged today by women athletes, saying under Title IX, it discriminates against women because the bulk of all of this past money, a couple of billion dollars we're talking about, the past, all this past money, the bulk of it's going to go to men's teams, men's football, men's basketball, and the women athletes are challenging that as a violation of Title IX.
What do you think?
Well, they've got a valid point, but the way that this money is being distributed is based on revenue. And listen, I've got my oldest daughter went through KU on a full ride scholarship. That's the only way I would allow her to go to Kansas University is if I wasn't paying for it. She went on a full ride on rowing. Well, we would go to these rowing events, Dave. There's nobody there. They're not generating any money.
No.
And then right across from where they row in Lawrence, Kansas, there's the basketball team that raises millions and millions of dollars every year. So if you're going to separate this money and pay it based upon the athletes who generate revenue, then by its very nature, it's going to have to go to the men's sports because those are the sports that generate money. So the question will be, is it fair to women to divide this money based on the revenue generated? That's really going to be the focus of this lawsuit to determine whether it does or does not discriminate against women.
Wheels Rage, got any thoughts on that?
A lot, because I it doesn't just discriminate against women. It'll be anybody that's not a basketball or a football player. So if you're a golfer, if you're a baseball player, if you're a male on the crew team, you're not getting it either. So it's not choosing that line in the sand. It's not saying men get it, women don't. It's saying these two sports make all the money, therefore that's where this is going, because they were the ones restricted the most. Right, I could not have gotten a licensing deal when I was a college baseball player. I was a nobody, first of all. And second of all, baseball wasn't going to get that love, even where I was, where it was a pretty popular program in town. All the football players would have had something. All of them. Every last guy on the team. And the same thing for the basketball program. So I'm curious about their standing on that. And I know there's a similar case. I don't think it, I can't remember. It didn't go to court, did it, Brad? The U.S. Women's National Team? When they were talking about getting equal pay to the men, that's to me.
No, that got settled. There was no actual judgment or finding on that.
But that was also a little bit different argument because it's set up through the U.S. men's and women's. It's the U.S. national team, right? It's not
right.
It's not about.
It was not NCAA. It was not under the umbrella of the NCAA.
That's correct. Now, even with that argument in the World Cup, the men's teams make more money than the women's teams. That's just based how the payouts go, based on the revenue generated by each event. But it's because it's the same governing body that pays the athletes to participate. It's at least a reasonable argument to say moving forward, we can equalize that and do that because you're all playing for your country. So it was at least a more fair argument. But in this case, I'm not sure that I see the delineation as men and women. It's football, basketball against everybody else.
Rich?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, what Wheels said just makes a lot of sense. I don't have like a strong, like, the way Brad laid it out too, I don't feel like women are necessarily being discriminated against. I think Wheels just did a great job of summing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, same
right,
way.
But I mean, that's really the question, though, in this lawsuit is going to be, if you distribute the money based on the revenue generated by the sports, is that in of itself inherently discriminatory? Mm-hmm. And I think Wheels really answers that question. It's not, because men who are playing sports that don't generate revenue are going to be mm-hmm. in the exact same situation as women mm-hmm. who are in sports who don't generate revenue. So I don't know that it's a discrimination based on gender. It's a discrimination based on revenue. Now, the revenue itself may be discriminatory. It may be that the public at large is discriminatory because they go to men's games but not women's games. But the way the money is being distributed is not in of itself inherently discriminatory.
And Brad, I apologize if you already explained this, but the people bringing the suit, they want the money to just be distributed equally, period.
Correct. And the women and the lawsuit is challenging it, saying, listen, women are being shortchanged. There's no circumstance, according to the plaintiffs, which is, I think this is a correct factual statement, when you say that none of the women anywhere are going to get anywhere close to the money that men's basketball and men's football are going to get. But is that a discrimination based on gender, or is that a discrimination based upon societal choices that favors men's basketball and football?
Yeah, it really reminds me of law school, Brad, where the teacher, the professor would be saying, is it only if you have the intent to discriminate, or if it has the effect of discriminating? Because this definitely has the effect. No, I guess
right.
really going back to
right.
Wheeler's point, it really doesn't. Because when I was on the SIU track team, I wasn't getting any NIL, right?
And even if you had been free to, you probably wouldn't have, because nobody's going to be like, oh, track guy's getting my money. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Ouch.
That's not you. Ouch. It's just the sport.
What a dagger.
Soccer players
aren't
getting it.
He really came off the top rope.
He did.
Yeah. I had just said I wouldn't be getting anything. He's like, oh, yes.
None of us would.
He said that like Malfoy.
Yeah,
he was
soccer
like,
players
no.
wouldn't get it. Baseball players ain't getting it.
No,
golfers aren't getting it.
Track player is getting my money.
I was on the bowling team at SIU Carbondale. I wasn't
getting it,
seeing
Brad.
Any
Man,
money.
We're a bunch of dorks.
No money there.
But like, this is why.
Andrew, were you a magician at Lewis and Clark by chance?
This is.
No, not even cool enough for that.
It's just a fascinating thing, because the way that this is being set up is the same way that capitalism works, right?
Yeah.
He who makes the money gets the money.
Yeah.
He who generates revenue makes money. Like, that's how it works. Now, we can argue if we don't like that, but that's the system we live in.
Welcome back, DGS and Camo X. I thought this was kind of interesting. So there is a show on Hulu called Paradise, and this guy, you know, remember the cowboy Rach from Westworld?
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I always forget his name. The guy that was in the jury show where no one knew that it was...
Oh, yeah, James Marsden.
James Marsden. He plays the president. And this is a spoiler, so alert. I don't feel so bad because it's a television show on Hulu, so you kind of have to go looking for it, right? But it was an interesting conundrum. There's some sort of like nuclear war at hand. And so he has to single-handedly punch in the code to launch all of our nukes. And he knows from being briefed that this is probably the end of humanity. He says to his handler, I have a secret that no one knows but me. And that is, I have a second code, and if I punch that in, it causes the EMP pulse to go out over the globe, and it knocks out all of civilization. There are no iPhones, there's no computers, there's no working electricity, but it also takes down the nukes.
All over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah.
So I can single-handedly end the world, or I can send it 500 years into the past.
So launch all the nukes, or get rid of all nukes, but also everything else.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
But it wouldn't be forever.
I mean, you could rebuild.
Because the EMP, I mean, obviously there are issues with that, like a lot of lives at risk, but not more lives at risk there than with the nukes.
Yeah, just assume for the thought
experiment.
But
you could restart everything like days later, right?
You're guaranteed that every human's going to die, or every human's going to be put back to the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I choose Middle Ages.
Yeah, but I mean, everything we have can be fixed up again. It's not like that ends it all.
It might take a super long time.
Oh, no, yeah, you would have to start over like from the beginning.
It would, but it would only, I mean, obviously it fries anything that's not shielded, anything like that. But all of those things, circuits can be replaced. It would take forever to get back. But it wouldn't be hundreds of years, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, that's actually one of my biggest fears is like someone taking out the grid and taking out all these things we depend on. But I would rather have that happen than be dead from a nuke. So I pick that.
That would set off a lot of other things, though, right? Like that would set off looting. That would certainly probably set off some fighting.
I think it would set off some really terrible things.
Oh, my God. Yeah. People go into survival mode, turn against each other.
Yeah.
So is your question if it's better to just be dead without all these social protections?
Yeah.
I'd rather be alive.
And I have no idea what he does in the show.
Really?
Okay. No.
Oh, was it like a cliffhanger episode?
Yeah. Just a TikTok. It was just a TikTok.
Oh, okay. It's like, I'm not actually watching
the
show.
Well, then you're not spoiling it. No, they put it up on the internet.
But you're going to say you turned it off right before. You're like, this is boring.
I wonder what he's going to do.
You know, this is the perfect question to pose for the show, and I'm done.
And I don't want to know.
You just gave everybody the greatest tease to go watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going back to the Stone Ages.
Yeah, if I had to make the call, I wouldn't feel right making that decision for other people as far as like your life isn't worth it. Like, let's see how we fare with the apocalypse first.
The way they were doing it artistically was it's going to be so horrible. Like they weren't hopeful at all.
Right.
These people are going to curse you for the rest of their short lives because they would rather be dead. That was kind of the way that they were. We're presenting it.
Interesting.
I would be on team not dead.
Me too.
Well, that's what I would choose. Yeah, choose.
So you'd want a chance?
Sure, why not? Definitely don't want to be incinerated.
Yeah, because then...
I know the outcome there.
I mean, not to be too morbid, but I mean, you'd have a choice the other way, you know? You would have somewhat of a choice. If you don't want to live like that... Okay, but at least no one else made the decision for you and everyone else on the continent you're on. I mean, that just feels kind of wrong to me.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a real thing. Mm. I mean, I'd never had it in my head before, but when he said it, that made a lot of sense. I know we have those things.
I mean, this might be movie knowledge, but doesn't the EMP blast come with nuclear explosions too?
Don't know.
They must have. But I mean, I don't know that you could cover every inch of the globe with it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the EMPs, maybe I don't understand the physics of how big they can be. Right? Can they be the size of a nuclear blast?
Hey, what was your decision, Dave? I don't think you said what you would do.
Dead.
What
are you doing?
Dead?
It's like, you're all out of here.
Okay. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I see it the way you see it. I think just giving a chance to humanity... seems like the better choice, but oh my gosh, would that be bad? Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to talk to our pal Ricky Horton. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Doing well, man. So let me run this by you and Wheels. I was thinking to myself, because, you know, I'm in now and I'm watching Bernie on TikTok and I'm watching the guys at Sports Hub and I'm taking it all in. Like, where we are right now is about where we ought to be. Like, if we were 10 games above 500, we'd be waiting for someone to pull the rug out from under us. If we were 5 games under, we'd be pissed. And what I'm trying to say is, be happy. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is baseball, and this is about the level our team is, and maybe we catch a flyer and we end up winning the division, but I think we're going to be competitive until the end, and that should be enough.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about it, and, you know, I've been around the game a long time, and I know that sometimes you got teams that, you know, don't have a chance, and sometimes you have them that do, and this this team has a chance. A lot of things have to go right for it to end up being, you know, the kind of season we want it to be. But look, just enjoy the ride. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, think about the years I played. I played 7 years in the big leagues, and not everyone was the same. Not everyone was good. Not everyone was, but they were all big league season. You know, Tony La Russa used to say that. You know, he didn't think it was fair to judge a team or an organization based only on do you play the last game of the year or not. And I think there's a lot to that.
It's a fascinating dynamic too, Ricky, because I don't think the majority of baseball fans are the win or go home guys. That's probably like 10% of the fandom, but they're the loudest. And yeah. I spend all my time on social media doing this stuff. I mean, I've been around that crew. I'm not part of that crew because, I will watch a baseball game, and I don't care if the two teams are 50 games under 500 each because baseball's just awesome. But I understand that most fans are not like those 10% or whatever the percentage is.
Yeah, so here's what I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I heard a caller on with Matt Pauley the other night, and the caller kind of reiterated three points that I think are, you know, all about, you know, the Cardinal ownership and about Mo and about Ollie. And I could tell that he was just kind of repeating the social media mantra. And so what I was thinking about with that is, you know, that yes, it's a minority, but it's got a lot more influence than it's ever had because all of St. Louis is not picking up the Post Dispatch that's delivered to their house today with a kind of, I'm going to say, fair and balanced kind of report about what's going on. Some good, some bad, but it's, you know, it's like we all have our main source for getting the news. Now it's just, let me grab what's quick, and what's quick may be not what's right, and then it gets spread, and the next thing you know, the power kind of continues. And that's kind of where we are as a culture, but it's certainly where we are with baseball.
Yeah, and it is fascinating. I think there are a couple things that go into it, Ricky, having done sports talk specifically for 30 years now, is, you know, what we've seen is a lot of footballization of other sports where, you know, football is urgent and every game is worth 10 baseball games. And, you know, each week it does matter that much more. But a baseball game itself doesn't have that. But we've because football's so popular, that mindset starts to come across for every sport.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you just get – yeah. I mean, so it's true. Like, we talked about this the other day as it relates to pitching. You know, pitching is not isolated to the pitch. It's also the sequence. Well, baseball has sequences, too. They're called series. And in 162 games, you have – you know, you're playing a team a whole bunch of times. You can't pitch your best reliever every day. I don't care who you are. That's never been true about baseball. So, you know, but we kind of think, like, the lineup. Like, we used to think – you know, and there was a folks that thought Yadi should catch every day. Well, that'd be great if Yadi caught every day. Then he'd be done by August, and we wouldn't have him in the fall. So you know, you gotta. Baseball is a long. You gotta have a longer play on baseball, and you know, it's just how it is.
It is, and when we look at like this team at the moment, Ricky, you know, the last 10 days, 12 days have been kind of the lull. Before that, it was like a brilliant hot streak, and it will turn again because that's how seasons go. And now if it doesn't turn again, that'll be a bigger conversation down the road. But the point is, like, just like we knew that the 8-10-5 stretch wasn't going to be sustainable, I don't think the 4-8 is what's going to last either. There's going to be some kind of leveling off, but we won't know that in June. We probably won't know it in July, but we do need to have some idea in July so we can decide what to do at the deadline.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. It's exactly right. That's the tricky part, always has been, because, you know, and injuries are a part of that. And, you know, you make a decision in July and your best player gets hurt on August 1st, then you go, uh-oh. Now you're trying to make the best decision you can make to determine what your team's chances are. But even that's kind of a crapshoot. And so, yeah, I mean, it is it is really a tricky business to be a general manager or in 2025, and I'm glad I don't have that job. That's above my pay grade. And again, it's also above the pay grade of all managers, too. That's another kind of misconception. It's not that Ollie is saying, you know, let's go out and get this guy. He doesn't do that. I mean, he plays with what he has, and he's been – I think Ollie Marmol's doing a great job this year. And, you know, I know everybody's not going to agree with me on that, but that's what I think.
Rick, I have to ask you a personal question. You're not burying a body over there, are you?
No, I'm not. Why do I sound funny?
It sounds like you might, and I was going to come help you. I was
I'm just in my hotel room, you know, part of our travel log here. I was just finishing up putting away my ironing. That might have been some noise that you heard.
There you go.
You know, I'm in a hotel room in Milwaukee, and it's actually very quaint and very nice, and it's one of my favorite cities to come to. I'm not sure a lot of people say that, but I enjoy kind of the peace and the quiet here in Milwaukee.
You're born and bred in St. Louis to hate the Cubs. I don't hate the Brewers, but they really bother me. Like, they really, they do. They're just always kind of hanging around, you know. It's like having a booger on your finger, and you're like, it's still there, it's still there, it's still there.
Well, the teams that bother you are the teams that have been good, and they have been good a lot. That's part of the problem. So the Mets used to bother us, as you all know, in the 80s.
Pond
and why
scum.
Did they? Because they were pond scum. And, you know, they really weren't pond scum, but they were good, and so we didn't like them. So I think that, you know, certainly, you know, Craig Counsell was kind of villain number one for a lot of years, and now he's with the Cubs, so we can kind of just transfer that over to the Cubs as if we need more reasons to root against the Cubs. But I think it's, you know, Milwaukee – actually, it's a very. It reminds me of Busch Stadium when you go to Milwaukee. Everybody in the ballpark is just kind and nice, and the ushers, and you know, kind of has that Midwest feel to it. You can still hate them, Dave. It's okay.
Wheels, who's our new pitcher?
Yeah, I was going to get your thoughts, Ricky, on Andre Granillo gets the call. So hasn't pitched in the big leagues, but he's had a great run at AAA this year. 14 strikeouts per nine, 182 ERA, and. I don't know how much you saw him in the spring, but he did pretty well in the spring, too. 4 innings and 9 strikeouts in spring training for the Cardinals.
Well, John and I joked we felt like we saw him every day. I mean, he was either in the game. So, you know, every spring training you get a guy that's kind of like, well, you know, just in case, we'll throw that guy out there. And, we'll, you know, if something happens, we'll bring him in. He was kind of like the jam guy in spring training. When a pitcher was kind of got to the end of his pitch limit, it's like, okay, we don't really care. It's spring training. We're not going to hurt this guy. Bring Granillo in. So we saw him a ton, and he's got a really good off-speed delivery. I believe it's a split, but it may call it a changeup. But it really has kind of wipeout kind of stuff to it. And yes, the numbers have been good at AAA. So I'm excited to add him to the bullpen. I think the Cardinals need some help in their bullpen right now, and maybe he can provide that.
Yeah, the idea. I mean, ideally, he would be for you now, like what Ryan Fernandez was last year. Not immediately. He's got to work his way to later innings, but like that kind of guy who misses bats because. I know it can't be everybody, but having more of those guys at the back end certainly doesn't hurt.
Can't be everybody, but it better be somebody. you got to miss bats occasionally, and you know, our starters typically don't do that, although Sonny Gray today has the ability to miss bats on occasion. Not every game he pitches, but, boy, he's been great. I really look forward to watching him compete. He's 100% dude, man. He's just all in and all in every start, and I admire that.
Yeah, it makes sense why we didn't do well against the Blue Jays, although we're in, you know, the games. But they're a contact-hitting team, and we're a contact-pitching team, and sometimes that just doesn't work out.
Yeah, so the contact, you know, the whole idea is you make sure the contact is soft enough so it doesn't matter. And that doesn't work out all the time because the guy can get a blue pit. And they had a few of those, but they also hit some line drives, too. And they've got a good offense, and not only a good offense, but it's an offense that happened to be as hot as any offense in baseball at that time.
Yeah.
That's the other thing you run into. Who's streaking in the right way and who's streaking in the wrong way? And they were definitely streaking in the right way. And
we kind of
drew the brunt of that.
My favorite player by far, without birds on the bat on his chest, is Kirk. I just love that guy.
Beam him up. Yes. I loved it. So he is fun to watch, kind of not your prototypical, MLB body and all that, but man, can he hit.
There, and it was fascinating, too, Rick. So, Toronto coming in was what the Cardinals were about 3 weeks ago, right? Because this team, before this series, I think they had won, it was like 10 of their last 12 before this series. So they were already like one of the hottest teams in baseball. But I think that's an interesting thing to discuss, too, is matchups and how teams go against each other. Because that's why when you see division rivals that you play a lot, they all kind of know each other. And that's how it's going to be with the Brewers this weekend. You know each other.
And I'm actually,
got some idea of what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about that. And actually, it's a four-game series, too, which is also unique because you're almost seeing the entire rotation. So you're seeing – you're going to see their whole bullpen. They're going to see our whole bullpen. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. You're going to see every player. And, you know, that's kind of how it ought to be in your division. And I think it's in some ways a lot and more fun. It is more fun for me, for sure. And I'm going to spend the rest of the day thinking about why Dave thought I was burying a body instead of ironing my clothes. I mean, I'm a little hurt by that, Dave, frankly, but, you know, I still love you.
Here's what it is. I'm from South Roxana. I know the sound of a body being buried.
Hey, I'm from New York, and I was watching Donnie Brasco today on TV. So that might have heard that in the background. I don't know.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, guys. I guess you're just what I need. That's what I need.
Welcome back. Man,
okay?
I know, that was a bad one.
I got back. Better be great. Better got a break.
Living in a digital hell. What kind of digital hell are we living in?
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about all the AI stuff that you see on TikTok, and it's silly, and it's slop, and it doesn't add any value to your life. Well, beyond that, you also run into a digital hell when you're just trying to unsubscribe from emails that you don't want to get. I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal this morning. The title is Think Twice Before You Click Unsubscribe.
I saw that. So, I didn't read it.
Well, I did read it. Apparently, half the time whenever you hit unsubscribe, they're taking you to a separate site that could compromise your private information.
That's nice.
So it's one thing if it's like, you know, you could probably trust like McDonald's. If you're going to unsubscribe from McDonald's, that's probably pretty legit as far as they'll just take you to the page where you actually get rid of those emails. But many, many emails out there are designed to take you to a site that's going to steal your information. So it's like you can't win. You're trying to get out of this. You know, you don't want a million emails from that company you ordered something from 7 years ago. So you try to get rid of it. And they just try to get you any way they can. And I just don't think it's ever going to get any better. I mean, Congress, whoever could be passing laws that are like, hey, this is super illegal and we will prosecute you to the full extent of the law if you're caught doing this. But it just seems like it's fine.
And doesn't it pisses me off so much because we have such amazing technology. But when it comes to something like, I don't want Paramount anymore, it's like, oh, gosh, well.
Oh, we don't know how to help you there.
How do we figure that out?
You got to cross the river and climb the mountain and talk to the witch. And then she might give you the key to unsubscribe. Like, it's ridiculous.
Is it a state-by-state thing? Like, are some states doing it where it has to be as easy to cancel as it is to start?
I thought that was federal.
Was it?
Thought so.
Like, that should be easy. I mean, that's, to me, automatic. Like, if I can start this up by pressing a button, I should be able to end it by pressing a button, not calling and going through these hoops or running through 16 pages on a website.
100%.
So they talked to some experts when they wrote this article, and all the experts said you can use the list unsubscribe headers. These are built-in hyperlinked buttons, and they're usually in the heading of emails or, like, the very bottom of the email. And you just click unsubscribe as you're done. Where you really need to be careful is if it's in the body of an email, that could be a phishing tactic and a way for your information to be stolen.
Gotcha.
So just stay alert, people. Stay alert.
And what's going on with women's tennis players' eggs?
Okay, so this is really great if you are a pro tennis player and you are female. Players are going to get ranking protection after they freeze their eggs. So they're not like giving up their rank if they choose to do this fertility treatment. It's tough because you play tennis basically all year round. There's not like an off season. So these play and your prime years are as a tennis player are also like the most how do I put this? Like,
childbearing.
Yeah, childbearing years. So a lot of people want to freeze their eggs and put that off so they can have, you know, this time to play tennis in their peak years. They're going to freeze, for lack of a better term, your ranking over a 12-week period before and after your leave that you take to get these hormones. Sometimes people get a surgery to harvest their eggs. So I think this is really great. They still... The WTA still wants you to do it during a quieter part of the season. I'm not sure what that is. Because like I said, they play all year round. It kind of just seems like a platitude, but it's great that they'll actually let you like pause your ranking for that period of time. Yeah.
Because cool. I never thought about that. Like all female athletes, they just have a certain window.
Yeah,
for absolutely. Career and for having
just,
kids.
Just something men don't have to worry about.
No.
Nope. Not that I'm aware of.
It's pretty great being a guy.
I mean, that is one of the tough things, right? If you're, for example, in the WNBA, you know, I mean, like, if you're pregnant for 9 months, that will be a part of that year and may knock out that season for you, which has happened. So, tough choice.
And, you know, some people are able to freeze their eggs and they don't gain weight. They don't have any sort of issues. But other people, they end up, they're going through, like, you're injecting tons of hormones into yourself to make this happen. So everyone reacts to it different. So Sloane Stephens is one tennis pro who's spoken out about this and been like, this is great, because she had done it. She's 32 years old. And she had frozen her eggs previously twice, and she's very happy about, you know, this new rule for players. So I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Good times.
Yeah.
I mean, each sport should be, like, catering to their stars, right? Or not their stars, but just the people who play the sport.
Yeah, the people who make it up.
Right? I mean, like, it just seems like, why did it take that long to think about this kind of step or this kind of protection for players? It's like that's the entire women's tour. They're by nature.
Yeah. Talk about the Gelman team.
Yes.
Okay. We had a little battle there.
Sorry.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.